Money FM 89.3, best of the afternoon update. Your health on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Your Health. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, it's the number one cancer in Singapore, but with early treatment and screening, it can be treated. I'm talking about colorectal cancer. And to find out more, we are joined today by Dr. David Tai, who is a senior consultant, Division of Medical Oncology at the National Cancer Centre Singapore. Dr. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, I can hear you, Rachel.
Great to have you with us, Dr. Tai, to share with us more on colorectal cancer here in Singapore and the importance of early screening. So let's start off, because I've got to ask you, colorectal cancer in Singapore, it's Singapore's top killer. There are 1,865 cases each year. Why are rates of colorectal cancer so high?
So, Rachel, a number of factors have been associated with colorectal cancer risk. Older people, people who are overweight, smoke, drink alcohol regularly, consume a high-fat diet, or don't exercise are all at a higher risk of developing colorectal cancer. Singapore itself is an aging society, and the rates of all these traits which I've mentioned among Singaporeans are also increasing. Diabetes is also a risk factor for colorectal cancer. The incidence of diabetes is also on the rise. Hence, lifestyle modifications like smoking cessation, reducing alcohol consumption, exercising, and eating healthily can help minimize the risk of developing colorectal cancer.
Just going to pick on that, eating healthily. What role does diet play? For example, does a high consumption of processed food lead to higher risk? Are there certain types of diets that may be higher risk?
Certainly. So dietary factors have been associated with colorectal cancer. High consumption of processed food is associated with a higher colorectal cancer risk. And a study that involves nearly 500,000 people found that people who ate red meat or processed meat, like ham, sausages, and even bakwa, four or more times a week, had a 20% higher risk of colorectal cancer than those who indulge in less than twice a week. Hence, it is recommended that one consumes no more than 500 grams of cooked red meat a week. Eating meat cooked at high temperatures and alcohol consumption are other known risk factors. Thus, char grilling, deep frying, and barbecuing should all be avoided, and one certainly should limit one's alcohol intake.
So only one burger a week for me, Dr. Tai, is that?
That's right. And conversely, a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, and dietary fiber can certainly help to reduce colorectal cancer risk.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about changing our diet. Healthy eating overall, it affects so many different things, doesn't it?
It does, you know, all sorts of diseases ranging from diabetes to cancer.
Okay, so we've spoken about the impact that diet has when it comes to colorectal cancer, lifestyle changes that you need to implement. But it's not just about lifestyle changes, is it? Genetics can also play a factor here too.
Certainly, Rachel. So a family history of colorectal cancer or hereditary-related diseases can increase one's risk of developing cancer. The most common inherited syndromes linked to colorectal cancers are Lynch syndrome and familial adenomatous polyposis, FAP in short.
Okay.
But other rarer syndromes exist too. So for example, Lynch syndrome is the most common hereditary colorectal cancer syndrome. The lifetime risk of colorectal cancer in this group of patients is as high as 50%.
50%, did you say?
50%.
Okay.
And cancers associated with Lynch syndrome beyond colorectal cancer include cancers of the ovary, the stomach, the small intestines, the pancreas, and a few others. The cancers linked to this syndrome tend to develop when people are relatively young. And in the most common type of FAP, hundreds of thousands of polyps develop in the person's colon and rectum, often starting at ages of 10 to 12 years old. And cancer usually develops in one or more of these polyps as early as age 20.
Ooh.
And by 40 years old, almost all people with FAP will have colon cancer if the colon has not been removed to prevent it. So it is best that one discusses one's risk with his or her doctor if one either has a personal or family history of such conditions.
So when do you need to get tested, Dr. Tai? You mentioned some very young ages there. You know, the number of polyps at age 10 and cancerous by age 20 and removal by age 40. Say, for example, if a parent or a close family member had colorectal cancer, at what age should we start screening?
So Rachel, it depends on whether there is a genetic disorder within the family itself. So let's say if someone has a family history, someone's parents has a genetic disorder, then this discussion should be held with the individual doctors itself to try to risk prognosticate and to individualize the surveillance and preventive strategies with that particular individual.
But if there is no genetic factor, such as Lynch syndrome, as you mentioned, if your parent has had colorectal cancer, you should still go and get checked. I mean, we should go and get screened anyway. When should people start getting screened?
Most definitely. So for individuals without any symptoms or low risk factors, screening should begin at the age of 50. Individuals with an increased risk, like what we mentioned, such as family history of colorectal cancer, hereditary polyposis, a personal history of colorectal polyps, inflammatory bowel diseases, the screening should begin way earlier than 50 and should be individualized. There are various screening tests that is available out there. And the simplest option is the fecal immunochemical test, FIT for short, which detects presence of small amounts of blood and feces. And this can be done at the comforts of home. Singapore Cancer Society distributes these kits without charge to Singaporeans and PRs above the age of 50. And this is done annually and most appropriate for asymptomatic individuals above 50 with no family history or personal history of colorectal cancer. There are other screening options out there, like colonoscopy and flexible sigmoidoscopy. And the frequency of these tests would depend on the risk of each individual. So hence, I do encourage everyone out there to discuss your screening options and frequency with your doctors.
And let's talk about why that screening is so important. I mentioned earlier that colorectal cancer is the number one cancer in Singapore, but it is treatable, isn't it, if it's detected early?
Yes, definitely. It is important to catch it early, and the majority of colorectal cancers arise from adenomatous polyps. Malignant transformation of these polyps takes 5 to 10 years via multiple gene mutations, and hence, regular screening tests can help prevent colorectal cancer by identifying and removing these polyps before they even turn cancerous. Colorectal cancer screening also reduces cancer-related deaths. When detected early, individuals have more treatment options available and a higher likelihood of cure. For example, in an early-stage colorectal cancer, some patients may only need to undergo surgery to remove the tumor without any additional treatment subsequent to that. Thus, the importance of screening for colorectal cancer.
Okay, before we get to screening, though, we get to the stage of screening, what can people look out for at home, for example, when they go to the loo?
Yes, that's a good question. There are several signs and symptoms one can look out for, including passage of blood or mucus in the stools, change in the consistency of your stool, change in your bowel habits, such as a new constipation or diarrhea, presence of a lump in the abdomen, abnormal abdominal pain or discomfort that it doesn't go away, or feeling that you have not emptied your bowels completely. If you have any of these symptoms or signs, please seek medical attention promptly. However, there's early stage colorectal cancer sometimes can be without symptoms.
Okay.
Hence, I would encourage everyone to attend screening when due.
And say, for example, you do notice something a bit off. You go and see your GP, or do you need to go and see the National Cancer Centre, or where is the best place for individuals to go and seek help if they are concerned?
So the best place is actually to see your GP.
Okay.
And your GP will take a thorough history, will do a physical examination and all the certain tests. And if there is a high index of suspicion, then the individual will be referred appropriately.
Okay. Dr. Tai, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you, Rachel. Glad to be here.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. David Tai, Senior Consultant Division of Medical Oncology at National Cancer Centre, Singapore. You've been listening to Your Health on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.